Joshua chapter 4 with me this morning. Thank you for that great song as we think about being born again into the family of God. I'm so thankful that John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him," that's Jesus, "as many as that received Jesus, to them, those that have believed, has He given the power to become the sons of God or the children of God." And this morning, I hope that you're encouraged to know that you're a child of God. And if you're not, you can leave here with that assurance that God Almighty is indeed your Father, your King, your Savior, and your Lord. Well, if you find your place there in Joshua chapter 4, I'm going to read this chapter. Please pray for my voice and I'll be able to get through this whole chapter, and then we'll look at some particular points that I believe the Lord would have us focus on this morning. Notice with me in Joshua chapter 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" Now let me pause there just for a moment. Verse 6 will be one of our main texts, along when it is repeated in verse number 21. The significance that we will focus on this morning is the importance of the stones that were commanded. What were those stones for? Let's continue reading. "Then ye shall answer them," that's the children, "that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, and the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Verse 10. "For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest, and the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joseph in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they feared Moses, all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priest that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan." Verse 18. "And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal. in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask, what are the next two words? Their fathers, in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you passed over it, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, what mean these stones? What mean these stones? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the Word of God. We understand that it's living, Lord, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it is a discerner of the faults and intents of the heart. And God, we are praying that your word would do its work. I pray my heart would be receptive to the truth, Lord, that I would be obedient and submit to it, lest I be a castaway. And I pray for the hearers, Lord, the dear folks that have come this morning. I pray that they would receive, Lord, a message from the Holy Spirit. Lord, not just the dads, but the children and everyone here. So God, glorify yourself now. We thank you for how great thou art. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What mean these stones? Was the question that was going to be asked by the children. Now, notice what is going on here in our context. The children of Israel have just spent 40 years wandering out in the desert and now have finally got to the point where they have crossed the Jordan River into the promised land called the land of Canaan. That was the land that God had promised their father Abraham. And through generations, God was faithful to get them to this spot. And it's interesting because as they get to the spot, God's going to put certain things in order to help the next generations remember the greatness and goodness of God. And can I say this morning, every one of us have a wonderful responsibility of making sure that we declare the greatness of God to every generation. Joshua commands each of the 12 tribes to take a stone from the river and to place it where they would first set up camp there in Gilgal. And that's just a couple miles from the river there, and also would be a couple miles from Jericho. You remember Jericho's that going to be that first city that they conquer. We're going to get to that as we go through Joshua. But one of the things that's interesting about Gilgal, where these stones will go, do you know, interestingly enough, that will be the military headquarters for all of the military campaign until the wars are finished and Joshua passes away. Then headquarters would move to Shiloh. But until then, this was a strategic place, Gilgal. And what God wanted in Gilgal was a reminder to the children of what God has done. And my prayer for Crooked Creek Baptist Church is that we will be a people who are just continually declaring the mighty acts of God. What He's done in my heart, in your heart, and what He's doing in our hearts, it's a necessary and a privileged responsibility for each of us to declare what God has done. Now, as we understand the meaning of these stones, it is very important. They were not in themselves to be worshipped. That would be a temptation and down the road for some of the Israelites. But it was not to be worshipped. They were actually there to be teachers, to be reminders of what God had done.
We noticed in the passage that they were to remind and teach all generations of God's miraculous power to hold back the waters of the Jordan, just like He did with the Red Sea. Now, what is the purpose when they see these stones? It was to keep the testimony of God's grace and mercy at the forefront of the minds of their children. And as a dad here this morning, I am reminded through this passage that I must keep the mercy and grace of God continually before the minds of my children. Now, children, as we get ready to go into the first point, I'm going to give it here in just a minute, so you listen very carefully. But listen, children, as I preach this message, I want this to encourage you to know how to better pray for your dad. How to better pray for you, that some of you that may not have a dad, but you have a father figure, maybe someone in the home, maybe a grandfather, maybe an uncle, maybe somebody that you know and look up to that's an encouragement to you. You pray for them. You understand that they have to have the power of God, and they're human just like all of us, and they fail, but we need to pray that they'll succeed in the will of God. We need to pray, because these dads had a great responsibility, the parents. You see, when we studied the beginning of Joshua, we understood that Deuteronomy, leading into Joshua, was the theme was God was bringing them out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of the wandering, into the land of Canaan. And my friends, that is a picture of the Christian life. God didn't bring you out, so to speak, when He brought you out of the bondage of sin, to sit, soak, and sour. God, when He delivered you from the bondage of sin, He has put you on a path of continual victory. And my friends, let's always be reminded that there are no victories without battles. I mean, you know, if we think about it, we could sit here together this morning and think, boy, it sure would be nice to have a life without battles. There's coming a day when there will be no battles. But that's not where God has us on this side of eternity. We got battles. And with those battles, with God's help, we got victories. And I am thankful to see the example of Joshua this morning as the priests are out there by faith holding the Ark of the Covenant. And we saw that that was to be the center of attention. That was which went out first, because what did that represent? It represented the presence of God. It represented the power of God. And that Ark of the Covenant was there, and the rest of the hundreds of thousands of Israelites would cross over this Jordan by faith on dry ground. What a miracle. And as we go into this, the emphasis towards the parents, but specifically He addresses the fathers here, but it's applied to both, of course. That legal guardian is that we as parents are responsible for teaching our children the truth. Now, I'm thankful as a church, we do provide classes, study groups for ages, all different ages, and I think that's right and appropriate. But one thing that I fear sometimes as a pastor, and I have to just continually try to keep this before the Lord, the local church classes, if you will, the teaching of God's Word is not to replace the responsibility of the parents teaching their children the Word of God. We want them to be reinforced here, what you're teaching them at home, what you are explaining to them and how you are instructing them. We want to be an encouragement in that way and also be a reinforcer. But my friends, the responsibility comes upon parents. But let me just say very specifically, you dads. And that's where I want the emphasis to be with the remaining of the message. You see, these stones were to represent the redemption that they experienced by being delivered from Egypt. They were slaves. They were taskmasters. There were taskmasters there, and they just lived a horrible life. And when they were delivered, that's a picture of salvation. That was a picture of the Passover, was a picture of salvation. Through the Red Sea was that great miraculous deliverance. And then that's a type of salvation. And then we get to the Jordan River where they're passing, mark it down. You know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of revival. Picture of revival. What is revival? I know that can be an ambiguous term. What exactly does revival mean? Well, I'll tell you, without trying to make it too complicated, can I say this right now? Revival is simply this. It is walking in obedience to the Word of God. It is. It's simple obedience to the Word of God, and it happens daily. Sometimes we look for this real mystical move of God where people are falling down on the floor and under conviction. Does that happen? Yes, it does. But it's not the norm. And what daily personal revival is us just being broken over sin and being obedient to the Word of God. And what I want to share with you in the next few moments that I have, and I'm going to have to go quick here. I'm going to have to put it in second gear. What I want to explain to you is the responsibility of dads to show the importance of the stones that God has placed in your life as spiritual markers of growing in His grace, of experiencing His grace. So dads, I want you to understand and share your story of redemption and revival to your children. And fathers, can I say this very clearly? Your two greatest responsibilities as a dad is to teach your children how to be saved and how to walk with God. Can I say that again? Dads, your two greatest responsibilities to your children are, number one, to teach them how to be saved, teaching them the gospel. Secondly, it is to teach them how to walk with God. And that was exactly what Joshua was wanting these dads to do in this context. When those children come to you and they look at those stones and they say, "Dad, what are those stones for? Where did they come from? Why are they there?" And I would like, by the way of spiritual application this morning, church, I would like to encourage you to think about the signs that God has brought into your life from the time you were saved and throughout your walk with God. I want to give you, dads, some things to think about that your children are probably going to ask you, and they should ask you. So, kids, listen up. These are some questions that I think you can ask your dad. And I believe you'll be encouraged, or whoever that is in your home, that fatherly figure that you have. Here are some great questions that you can even ask your mom. But again, we are going to stick with the dad here in the specific primary context. Number one, the question I think would be great to ask your dad is this: how did you come to know Christ? How did you come to know Jesus as your Savior? You see, when they were able to point those kids to the stones there in Gilgal, not only would they have a testimony of being going through the Jordan River, but you know what else would come up? Would be the Red Sea. Generations to come, we were delivered not only through the Jordan, but the Red Sea, a place of redemption. And dads, can I encourage you to do this often? Share your story of redemption. Share how you came to know the Lord. Share how God convicted you and drew you to Himself. Share who that was that pointed you to Christ and who influenced you to know the Lord. I tell you, my dad's testimony always had an impact on me. You know, my dad was not a very spiritual man. Even as a saved man, he did not live in victory, but he did in the last few years of his life. He had given his life to the Lord, and that's a whole other story, that he had surrendered his life. And so he really did live for Christ for about 3 years before God took him home. But even that who he would tell me that he was, my dad was an alcoholic and he was about to lose his family. I was probably only a year old. Maybe I was a little older. In fact, maybe I was around 3 years old. I don't remember this. I just go back from what he told me. But it got to a point where my mom said, Brent, because he's an alcoholic, he said, I'm about to leave you. I'm going to take Brinson and my brother and sister, Michael and Michelle. They're twins. They're 7 years older. I am going to take Michael, Michelle, and Brinson, and we're leaving. And when my mom told him that, and she was very serious, she couldn't take it anymore, something happened in my dad where it sobered him in the sense of, this is real. I'm about to lose my family. And I'm not promoting AA. I think it has its place and has done a lot of good, but they don't make Jesus Christ the center. But I do believe it has pointed people in the right direction. And God happened to use AA at that time with my dad. He went, but it was that was not what his Savior was. From there, he went to church. And from there at church, I was probably around 3 or 4 years old, my dad came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I never saw a bottle of beer in my dad's hand. I never saw a liquor drink in my dad's hand, although he had had many. And he had done a lot of bad things to my mom and things like that. But God saved him and changed him. And I always remember that testimony of my daddy. And I am thankful for that. And I want to tell you, dads, it will make an impact on the hearts of your children. Your story. I was able to go back this past May with my kids. We were able to go to Charleston for Tim and Cassidy's wedding, and it was just a blessing of the Lord in so many ways. It was my 20-year anniversary in the Lord. I got saved 20 years ago, and Charleston was the first place God sent me as a new Christian. I was 2 months old in the Lord, and was just learning so much about God and the Bible, and it was there I was able to take my kids out to the beach. Just back in May, we went out and watched the sunrise, and I couldn't believe I got them out of the bed, but they did get up. I think I told them we'd get donuts or something, so they did get up, and we ended up doing something like that. But we went out on the beach and watched the sunrise there, and right there at Sullivan's Island, Isle of Palms. And I had the joy of sitting there on a old sea log that had been washed up on shore, and I just sat the kids down. I said, kids, come over here. I got to tell you this. I said, 20 years ago, your daddy got saved. God changed my life. I'm not the same man. And I'm thankful by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. But I used to come out here on these beaches as a young believer, just looking up at the stars and thanking God for saving me, giving me a new life. I was not perfect. I still am not. I'm growing in grace. But let me tell you something, dads. Let your children hear how God saved you. And can I say this, please, emphatically as I possibly can? Nobody, and I mean nobody, has a boring testimony. And I know that you may not have all the history or the stories and different things. Everybody's story different. But my friends, it took the same sinless royal blood of the Son of God to be shed on a cruel cross. And it did for someone that got saved later in life. Same blood, same agony, same love, same God. It was Him that died on the cross. And so, parents, you say, well, I got saved at 4, or I got saved at 5. Listen, you tell them all about it. You tell them what God did. You tell them about that Sunday school teacher that impacted you, that mom and daddy. You tell them about the grace of God that it took to save a wretch like you, even as a young person. Oh, my friends, we got a testimony that God would save a sinner like me. Amen. You see, your kids are going to see your life. They're going to look at your salvation. That's symbolic. You know those stones? That's what it's symbolic of, where God brought deliverance. So kids, the question there at number one is how you came to Christ. Number two, I believe a question that will come as the passage implies, what mean these stones? What about the stones of how you left the old life or old habits behind? That number two is the old life. What do you mean by that? Well, you see, notice in the passage, you don't miss it. It's a little bit discreet. But there were two sets of stones here. You had a set of stones that were put up over there in Gilgal. But do you know Joshua himself, the leader, took and put a pile of stones right where the priests were standing? It was a second pile. And those were to stay and be buried by the Jordan River. And I want that to be a reminder as, again, going into the land of Canaan is the picture of victory. Do you know what that's representing? That's representing the old life. That's representing the old me. It symbolizes that old life is gone. It's gone, folks. It's under the blood. I'm thankful my children don't know the Brinson before I got saved. I still got the same personality and the same ugly looks. And the same ugly, sometimes idiosyncrasies and different things of that nature. But the fact of the matter is, the things I used to do, praise God, I don't do them anymore. My old life that was all centered on Brinson and satisfying Brinson and gratifying and satisfying this flesh of mine and doing things that are just truly horrific. And bring shame upon the name of Christ. But God saved me. That old life has passed away. Again, He brought us out to bring us in. Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12 talks about being baptized with Christ in His death. Being buried with Him in the baptism of His death, Romans 6:4 says. It means that old life is gone. I'm glad my children don't have to witness the lifestyle I had before I was born again. I'm grateful by the grace of God my children will never see me under the influence of alcohol and drugs. I'm glad I didn't have to see my dad as an alcoholic. And my friends, we ought to be able to say that, dads, that listen, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. God's got my old life buried. You said I got saved younger in life. I didn't get into all that. Well, hey, did you ever struggle with pride? Did God ever convict you and you got victory over some bad habit? What about worry? What about anxiety? What about anger? Dads, there should be a point, even if you got saved at a young age, there ought to be some things that God dealt with you about and you got victory over, not that you became perfect, but that you can testify, hey, that was the old life. Maybe it was your mouth and the words you used to say. I don't know, but you ought to share that, hey, God's changing, Daddy. I'm a new man in Jesus. Praise God. We see, number two, that we ought to show them the stones that I'm not the same man. It's the old life and old habits are behind me. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Creation is the meaning of that word. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Praise God. How many of you thankful that your old life is buried under the depths of the sea of God's love and forgiveness? Hallelujah. The children ought to hear about that. And sometimes they may not understand. Why is that so bad? You know, sometimes you ought to tell them, you know what? There was a time Daddy was in bondage to that, or Mama was in bondage to that. And there was a time that I thought this way. But then God got a hold of my heart and He changed me. God did something supernatural in Daddy's life. He gets the glory. Explain that to him. But then, let me give another one here. Thirdly, when these kids ask these questions about the stones, perhaps what about the stones of who's had a great impact on your spiritual life and why? Boy, this is a good one. Share with your kids. Maybe they'll say, Daddy or Mom, what about this family? Or they say, who helped you follow the Lord? Who showed you the way of the gospel? Why did you choose Christ. How did that all come about in your life? Who impacted you? Parents, I hope you'll share that with your children. I hope you will gladly give them the story of those that might have been a Sunday school teacher, a parent, or a pastor, or just a co-worker, whoever that shared that with you. I remember before I was saved, God was dealing with me. I got on a Greyhound bus from Miami, Florida, going up to Savannah to visit my sister in Hilton Head. And I remember God put this man by the name of James Vance. He was a very elderly man, and he was on that bus, and he obviously sent some sort of conviction in my life, and he gave me an old paperback, just very much used and worn. It was a Good News Bible. And I remember him writing a little note on there. You could barely understand his writing, but it was something to the degree that I'm praying for you, Mr. James Vance. That was a seed. You just never know who you're influencing. And you can go back and tell your children, this person had an impact on me. Let me show you how. I can relate back to my dad. My mom was an influence on me. By the man of Dennis Clements. These names don't mean anything to you, but they mean everything to me. They were people that were planting seeds on my heart. Dennis Harry, Frank Camp, Norman Johnston, David Knickerbocker, Sammy Hood, John Cloud. I could go on and on with those names that along my journey with Jesus, these people have impacted me and influenced me. We ought to share that with our children. But then fourthly, this is a very important one. Oh, please listen with me, folks. Number four, if you're taking notes, we see here that the stones of failure in our life. How do you learn from your failures? What, if they ask kids, what failures have you had in your life? You know, brethren, I feel like sometimes in parenting and in the mission to instruct and to guide, reprimand, rebuke, admonish, I believe there's many times we forget to share with our children our own failures. Where we sinned. And I'm not talking about glorifying our sin. I'm just talking about being real transparent with our kids and saying, you know, this is where Daddy messed up here one time, this time or that time. Daddy used to struggle with this. And when the kid asks, well, how did you get victory? How did you overcome that? You explain to him what the Lord is doing in your life or what He did. How He strengthened you. But our kids need to understand that failure is very real in life. It's a reality. And many times as parents, you can almost give the persona that you have arrived. You can almost give the impression that you really don't struggle anymore with sin. And my friends, I do believe that that will be a hindrance to your children recognizing the power of God. Let them see you for who you really are. Be broken before your children and be willing to say, yes, Daddy messed up. And even when they see that failure, there's many times they will witness it. In fact, they will have front row seats to your failure. And that's where you got to be willing to humble yourself, Dad. And Mom would say, listen, I have been a bad example here and I am truly sorry. And by the grace of God, I'm going to work to overcome with God's help. I have not been a good example to you, honey. And I'm working on it. I'm not going to be satisfied this way. Because I want you to understand we're all growing. We're all moving forward. Frederick Douglass said this, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. My dad shared his struggles. It's important to teach our children that God's mercies are new every morning. And when we struggle, you know what we do? I hope that the Jennings crew, if you're listening, kids, I hope you hear Daddy say this plenty of times. As Jennings, we get up every morning and realize God's mercies are brand new. Every morning, we get up and we go again. If we had a bad day on Monday, let's get up Tuesday and hit it again. Praise God. Let's give it another shot by the grace of God. Let's don't stay down. That's not what Jennings do. And what we ought to all say, you can throw your last name in there, that's not what we do as believers. We don't stay down. We let God grow us. Even when we have failed Him. And we do. Also, can I just say it this? The next point is what the stones represent in your life. The kids may ask, what do you value most in life? Because by the way, they do see that. And they see it in my life. What do we as dads value most in life? That's a set of stones right there. Because they're going to look at it like, why do you put so much value in that, Dad? Why is that so important to you? And we ought to be able to explain, well, honey, this is why this is so important to me. This is why I value this particular attitude or character. Alexander McLaren said this, here is the manliness of manhood, that a man has a good reason for what he does and has a will in doing it. You got a good reason for what you're doing and then you have the will to do it. Saw an illustration where a first grader drew a picture, and the subject of the coloring the picture was this. They were instructed that draw a picture of your mom and dad or the guardians in your home. Draw a picture, color a picture of what they value most. So the little girl colored a picture first of her mother, and her mother was arranging flowers in the living room. He was putting together a little flower arrangement. It's a real beautiful picture. And what she drew about the dad, this particular writer said it was him that wrote it, said it was a great conviction in his life and God used it. But this little girl drew a picture of her daddy on Delta Airlines, a window seat, and basically put under the caption is, my daddy loves being on Delta Airline. And what he pointed out in the illustration is that most of his life was flying around the country because of his work. And in that little girl's mind, that's what he valued most. And it was very telling. And God used that in his life, realizing that he was neglecting his daughter. Though he did have to provide for his home, he realized that that was not to be a replacement of investing in his daughter. And he wanted her to know that, number one, he values the Lord God and he values his family. You see, we need to understand that, and every father should remember one day his son or daughter will follow his example. And not his advice. And that's very sobering. So we can give advice all day long, but at the end of the day, when they leave your home, they're going to take with them many of your examples. So what does that tell us? Yes, we're not going to be perfect, but it's to strive to grow in our example. What do you value, Dad? Your kids may ask you, Dad, why do we go to church? Why do we go Sunday morning? Why do we go to Sunday school? Why do we go to Sunday night or Wednesday night? Why do we do master clubs? Why do we go to camp? Why do we go to revival and missions conferences? Why do we hand out these tracts? Why do we pray at night together? Why do we have to read the Bible? Why do we do this? I want to tell you that's a wonderful time, Dad, for you to give them why what we value. We value the Word of God. We value the house of God. We value the work of God. That's a value in our life. And that will take priority over everything in our life. Your personal value. I tell my kids often, I said, as Jennings, I want us to value valuing people over possessions. possessions, that they can be replaced. People cannot. I want my children to understand that we value showing kindness and hospitality and respect. We don't bully. We take up for kids that are being bullied. We take up for the helpless and the hopeless. We seek to value those things. You know, we got to tell people what we value. We got to teach our kids. Why do we do this? And then you answer. So let me close with these two. They may ask you, in representing the stones, how did you meet Mom? Or how did you come to love Mom so much? Why do you say, hey, how does that represent stones in your life? I'll tell you how it represents it, because they see their mother every day. And it should be a reminder that she is valued and she is loved by their daddy. And God will use that in their life in a way that you can't even fathom. One of the greatest gifts, someone said, you can give your children is love to their mother. I want to tell you, God did a wonderful thing in my life when I met Joanna Jennings. It was Ike DeFlesh, and she desperately needed a last name change. And it was a great opportunity. But God let me marry my best friend. And I want my kids to know that Joanna's my best friend. And I love my kids. But I've told them this before, not to make them feel bad. I believe it'll make them feel better. But Mommy's number one to me. People on earth. God, Jesus Christ is number one. He's supreme. But here on earth, my wife. And they may ask you, why is that? That gives you an opportunity to teach them truth. Because God says when man and woman come together, they become one flesh. They become inseparable because it is Jesus Christ who becomes the glue. And though there are times when the separation occurs and when there is division, we know that we can still find redemption in Jesus Christ. We can still find healing and reconciliation through the power of the gospel, because we know God forgives. We know God restores. We know the Lord is awesome, and He specializes in taking broken things and making them beautiful. That's what our God does. Dads, your son should learn how to love a woman from you. Your son should be looking at you right now, the way you're loving your wife. They should look at you. That should be a model of how a woman should be respected, should be cherished, should be loved with sacrificial love. They need to see that so that your son can do the same thing. And the same is true, your daughters. Your daughters should learn from you how to be loved by a man, how to be valued, how to be cherished, how to be protected, how to be honored. Dads, we're teaching them. The stones are set up, and the kids are going to ask, why do you do this? What are these for? And I'm going to go ahead and give this 6 point. I would save it for tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now. The last question may be, why do you meet with God daily? Why is it that you read your Bible? Dads, can I say something here? You don't want to do this for show. I'm not suggesting this at all. We need to be genuine. But I do believe there is a place that I believe your children need to see you communing with God. Not in a weird way where you arrange it where they can come and see you, but it ought to be, you ought to have a place where your children can recognize Dad's meeting with God. Mom's meeting with the Lord. She's reading her Bible. She's got her eyes closed. Perhaps the hands are raised, but there's an obvious appearance. Maybe it's going to that room that they know there's a communion going on in that room. Maybe if they'd come up to the crack of the door, without mom and dad even knowing, I wonder if they'd hear a dad back there saying, "Oh God, I love you. Oh God, help me. Help me to love my kids. I'm praying for them, Lord." I wonder if they'd hear that. And said, "Daddy, why are you doing that?" "Son, daughter, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe God answers prayer. And I want to tell you right now, God is faithful. And God's moving in your life." I talked to one mom not too long ago, talking about praying mom, praying dads, and the specific child was going through a very difficult time, and they have claimed to name Christ as their Savior. And she was faithfully praying. And this particular incident, it was a situation where the child just was at an all-time low, but coming back. And the mom, I asked the mom, I said, "Do they realize that you are praying for them?" And she said, "Oh, yes, they do." And this child particularly came to her and said, "Mom, you're praying, aren't you?" Of course, the mom said, "Yes, I am, honey." And that goes the same for dads. We continue that prayer over them, asking God to intervene and show them daily how to walk with Him. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this: "We should give our children the impression that the most wonderful thing in the world is Christianity. It is the walk with God, and that there is nothing in life comparable to being a Christian." Amen. Dads, are you excited about Jesus? I mean, really. I mean, let's be real here. Do you get excited about the things of God and the walk with God? Your children need to see that. Nothing wrong with getting excited about that. I mean, any other things? You can ask my kids. When the Clemson Tigers come on, Daddy gets excited. Some of y'all didn't laugh because I didn't say the Bulldogs. It's okay to get excited about things, but I tell you what, I want my kids to understand, it's a joy being a Christian. Nothing boring about it. I love walking with God. Sometimes it's hard and the valleys are there, the mountaintops are there, but there's a deep inner joy and peace that only comes from knowing Jesus. And I want my kids to know that. And we're not perfect. We need help every day. But boy, we can wake up in the morning with the peace of God in our lives without having a drop of alcohol or drugs in our system. Can I get an amen right there? Amen! Praise God! That used to not be my testimony. I knew something was missing when I'd wake up feeling the way I did. I knew something was gone in my life. And I was at the bottom. Somebody shared the gospel with me. I tell you, there's nothing like it. Dads, what do you want to be remembered for? The job you held, the yard you kept, the money you earned? I want my children to remember me for my character. I hope you will want your children to remember you for your character. My desire is I want my children to say one day, is my dad feared God. My dad walked in the ways of God. He was not perfect, but Dad loved God, and there was no denying that. Pardon me for sounding morbid, I am not trying to be this way, but I can recall in my mind about 4 years ago, I was at a funeral. And the daughter who knew her daddy was saved, she knew he was in heaven, and she was a Christian too, so this was nothing inappropriate, but she stood over her daddy's casket. And she wept. And she said, "Oh, I pray that I can be half of what my daddy was to me, to my children." And she was just expressing an extreme gratitude, knowing her daddy was in heaven, but she just knew and appreciated the impact that he had on her life. It was a great reminder to me at that moment. I'll never forget it. It will never be erased out of my mind by the grace of God. I hope it will stay there. I want my children. I want my children to be able to say the same thing. Daddy loved us. Daddy loved God. I want them to remember the stones that we set in their life that they can look to after we're gone, dads. And they'll be telling their children and their grandchildren. Oh, the children asked, "Fathers, what mean these stones?" "Dads, let's be committed to tell them that we serve a great God." Because in the last verse of chapter 4, you will notice what God says. Glance there. The last verse of chapter 4. Why did he was instructed for the dads to tell them this? Notice what it says. It says, "Because the world may know that the hand of God is mighty and that you fear the Lord." That's the reason for those stones. To remind them of God's greatness and goodness. Would you pray with me?